This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. We had a really nice conversation in this last half hour. Some really insightful stuff there. The mentorship definition. Remind me to go and listen to that again.
Okay, I can't actually believe that the person that I know her to be and the person that she revealed herself to be on our show are completely two different women, and it's based on the power of mentorship, Gareth, to be honest. And yeah, that's a big one on Future CEOs.
It really, really is. I'm sure it's going to come out here in this conversation as well. So we'll get into it in just a moment. If you have just joined us and you've never listened to Future CEOs before, don't worry, we're not offended, but welcome to the family. What is the show all about? Well, if you are a young, up-and-coming, high-potential executive or an entrepreneur that really wants to fast-track the stuff that they do, this is the show for you. We talk about things that really are journeys, subjects, topics, themes, everything within that area. So this is the show for you. How do you get involved? 0861 555 189 at future_CEOs.
Carry on, you're on a roll.
And at CliffCentral.com. Let's get into this conversation. Kluby, take
challenge
it away.
Accepted.
Challenge accepted. What do you mean?
Entrepreneurs, very kind of special entrepreneurs who deal with disabilities, whether for themselves or for other people. And I just think that life is tough enough, you know, for the ordinary, you know, in inverted commas, human being. Those with disabilities, how do they make their own businesses flourish and trend and be successful and dynamic within their own lives? So without any further introduction, I would like to introduce Nick Smith.
Hi.
Hello, Nick. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm Nick and I'm a teacher.
I saw a maths.
Yes.
Guru, educator, yes, correct.
I teach maths. Yes. I also run a tutoring company.
Yes.
And then we've also launched Smergos, which is another company, and that's what we're here to talk about because it's mainly for disabled people. We started with wheelchairs, and we're creating accessories for wheelchairs, but our plan is to expand from there to other disabilities as well.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, yes. Vergos. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to come and educate us and empower Future CEOs, listeners, and communities out there. Tell us more about Smergos.
Smergos was a company that Nick and I started about 4 years ago. The original idea happened when Nick was actually thinking about something to buy me for my birthday. And he thought about, well, I need a bag, you know, to carry my stuff in, because often when we go out and I struggle to carry my handbag and let's say jackets or things like that as well. And then when he did some research, he realized that there wasn't anything like this on the market, at least not in the South African market. And that was when he phoned me and he said, I have a business proposition for you. And we met that day and we've been working on it ever since.
Now, if I may just quickly mention that when you say, well, you needed a bag and there was nothing like that in South Africa, well, people are saying, well, there's lots of bags in South Africa. But the unique thing about yourself is that you're confined to a wheelchair.
Yes.
Just tell us a little bit about that history. How did it happen? Has it been all your life? Just give us a little bit of detail, please.
Sure. I was born with a genetic disorder called osteogenesis imperfecta, otherwise known as OI. To be put basically, it's where my body produces some levels of collagen, but not enough. And collagen is what binds our bone fibers together. Mm. So without it, my bones are not as strong as the average person. So I was a lot more fragile when I was younger. It would take a very small bump for me to fracture a bone. Mm. But as you reach puberty, your body naturally produces more collagen. So I'm a lot stronger now than what I have been. So although I'll never be able to do things like bungee jumping, I think I live my life pretty normally and pretty happily.
Mm. Nick, yourself, I've heard your story. You had an accident when you were young. Just tell us about what happened, please.
Okay. I was involved in a car accident when I was 6 months old. And as a result, I'm cerebral palsy with hemiplegia. I'll define that quickly.
Yeah.
Cerebral palsy means brain damage. And then hemiplegia means half. So half of my brain was damaged and thus half my body is damaged. So down the left-hand side of my body, I have gross motor skills, so I can move my arms and my legs,
yes.
But I can't do fine motor. So things like wriggle my fingers or wriggle my toes or move my ankle or anything like that, I can't do. So yeah, that's me.
So clearly what I'm hearing here is that these guys are really uniquely positioned to be able to speak to a market that, and we spoke about this in the previous conversation, where you and I, we just never know. We don't have that ability to really empathize, to really walk a day in their shoes and understand what they're going through. And so the products that they're developing are unique to them, to your needs, and needs that other people just aren't catering for. That's Smurgos.
Yes.
Now let's just tell us about the name very quickly. It's got a nice little nice little thing there. What's Smurgos?
I was brainstorming for quite a while, and then I approached Nicole, and we brainstormed some more. And what we did was we actually just took our surnames and we put them together.
So, simple.
I'm Smit and she's Virgos. So oh together God. It's Smurgos.
Together it's Smurgos.
Yeah. But we like the sound of it because it's quite a strong name.
Very much.
So yeah, we rolled with it.
Very nice.
So obviously it's hugely innovative. Creating the business plan and putting that their art in the market. And obviously it is a unique selling product. Tell us the journey of actually having to do this, also being people, also being disabled yourselves. Was it a tough journey to actually, you know, come up with a plan that actually assists you in an everyday life, but also for the mass public who are in your position?
Yes, I think
that thought process.
I think so. I mean, I think we've also been through a few prototypes of the bags.
Okay.
We would design one, and then I would use it for a while, and then if some things didn't work or it would break or whatever, then we'd have to go back to the drawing board and start again. I mean, I think it has been a hectic journey for us. We've been let down a lot. We struggled to find a manufacturer of the bags that we actually felt we had a connection with, that understood our vision, that understood what we were going for. And then we managed to find one, and we've been working with them ever since. It's also been all self-funded up until this point, which to a certain extent also has its limitations, because you know, we would have to work out like payment plans with certain suppliers or things like that in order to get it to where we want it to be. I'm not sure if there's anything you want to add, Nick?
Yeah. In terms of innovation, we're constantly thinking what are the challenges that Nicole and myself face? And that kind of guides our product development. I mean, we were out the other day having coffee. And we were just chatting, and Nicole said, oh, you know, this is bugging me so much. And, you know, why isn't there something like this? And I was like, well, let's make one. So we started brainstorming it then, and now it's put on our list to make in the future. And that's how we keep coming up with things, you know. We just think, what would help Nicole? What challenges is she facing? And then how can we, make her life better? And then in that regard, it'll help others in wheelchairs as well.
I guess it almost sounds like you guys are in constant innovation mode, because you're always looking for how to improve, how to make it easier, how to just get along a little bit easier from just a normal running, normal day life perspective. Is that accurate?
Definitely. I think that's the underlining characteristic of disability, regardless of whether it be physical, hearing impaired, sight impaired, is that the constant need to, as you said, innovate products or adapt to your surroundings. Because I think it's only when you're in that situation you realize how inaccessible the world is.
So are there any support structures that you have been to or would like to be made available to you, just so that you can have funding for what you want to do, more importantly, but for accessibility?
I mean, I think I have a really wonderful support structure with my friends and my family. In that sense,
But I think, when you think of people like Nicole and myself and a lot of other disabled people, as Nicole was saying, we see things and we have to adapt. So, we don't just sit back and say, oh, well, there's no support structure or something like that. We create one. We make it work for ourselves. So if we meeting a challenge or if we face a challenge, you just figure out a way to do it, and through that, you learn strategies and techniques and make the connections you need to. There are, you know, a lot of disabled communities out there, and you know, a lot of people are helped by those. In my personal life, I haven't really followed those very closely. I'm more of a DIY kind of guy.
And that's a great point, and I'd like us to just talk about that for a little bit here, because there are going to be people who are listening. They are potentially disabled in some form or fashion. And really what seems to happen, and it happens to everyone no matter where we are in our lives, is that we become needy in some form or fashion, or we are debilitated by something emotional, physical. How did you guys deal with the compounding effect of an entrepreneurial journey, which can be debilitating in and of itself and very emotional, but then also have this added aspect to your life? How have you guys dealt with that?
Well, I think with Nick and I, maybe it's a little bit different because we have dealt with our disability for our whole life. And so I think I went through the stage of the why me.
Of course.
And then I realized, well, I can live the rest of my life feeling sorry for myself, or I can make the best of what I have to the best of my ability.
Very nice.
And that was when I decided that I wasn't going to let the disability define me. As Nick said, I was going to go through my life, to the best that I can.
You know, something that I always say with me, you know, obviously with Nicole being in a wheelchair, it's easy to see that she's disabled. And with me, you know, I've got what I call my 50 cent limp.
Okay. Your swag.
Yeah, there we go. But, you know, when I think about it and I meet new people, I always say I want to put my personality first before my disability. So I meet a person and I'm like, hi, this is who I am.
I
get to know me. And then I've had instances where people are, after the fact, say, I didn't even know you were disabled. You know, I didn't notice. And that's actually a compliment to me, because that means I've done, you know, what I wanted to do.
Tell
us about a low point in your entrepreneurial journey where you wanted to give up, where impounded by the fact that, you know, the product that you're trying to produce failed or was not working out, you know, whatever you were going through, just being a disabled being hinders and impacted that entrepreneurial fail.
I think our biggest challenge, as Nicole said earlier, was finding a manufacturer. And, you know, it doesn't sound like a big thing, but we're trying something that's for a niche market. So if you go to any big manufacturers, they don't even look at you. They're like, we don't have time for you. We're making thousands of bags or thousands of this. Why should we help you? Especially because we were in the prototype phase. And, you know, we spent, we've been working on this for 4 years, and we only started releasing or launched our company at the end of last year. That's because two of the years, we actually were just looking for a manufacturer. We had all these things in place. We've got strategies, social strategies, everything. We'd made connections and everything, but we couldn't find a manufacturer. So I think that was definitely be a low point for us, because, I mean, we would sit after a really good meeting and go like, you know, we just want to start this, and there would be no one out there. And we had instances where we met three or four people, and, you know, they all come across like really positive, and they're like, yes, 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 we'll help you. And then when the push comes to shove, they didn't produce anything.
Nicole, what was the thing that then changed everything? What was that point? Did you do something differently, or did you just find the right person? How did that work?
I think it was finding the right person. And like I said, I think we just had a connection with them and they understood our vision. I think also what might have put a few people off is because it is a niche market. And as Nick mentioned, you know, they're working in thousands. So when we're going and we're talking about hundreds, it's not big enough for them. But I think we met these people that they saw our vision and they saw our passion, and they wanted to help us to grow this company. And that was definitely a big turning point for us when we could actually touch our product and it was coming to life.
Yeah. I think you are the brains behind the creativity. What do you want to do from the bags onward just to add more value to the disabled community? Because basically that's what you're doing, you know?
I mean, yeah, I think we did mention it earlier that, you know, the bags are just the start, but that's not where we're going to stay. I mean, I know we have a few things in place, other different types of accessories, like cup holders, and things like that. There's a power pack that I know that we're also looking at bringing in. Another aspect that we haven't spoken about is the personalization of the bags.
Mm.
So because we felt the same way that you dress yourself, why can't you dress your wheelchair?
Yeah.
So we've created...
Very good idea.
So we've created a range of different designs or taglines that people can choose to put onto their bags if they want to, just as a form of expression, something fun. Nick?
Yeah. As Nicole was saying, you know, we've come up with about 40, 50 taglines, like "That's how I roll."
Very nice.
Thank you.
Or "I can't stand sitting."
Yeah.
I mean, I am looking at your shirts.
Love it.
So more like taglines. A boss. And
more taglines.
Nice,
more. Entertain us. Yeah.
So we've come up with those. And I mean, this is just us having fun.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be driving in the car and like we'll just start shooting ideas and like, oh, let's write that down or let's make a voice note of that quickly and then go home and, you know, we're talking about meeting the right people. I used to play pool at a league level, and so I know a lot of people from pool. And one day I was playing this guy, and we got to talking, and he ended up being a designer.
Okay.
And then he's like, okay, cool. And I told him a bit about Smogos, and at this stage it was a concept. It wasn't, you know, anything yet to me. And he's like, yeah, I can help you. And he's been working with us for about 2.5 years now. So we create the taglines. And we come up with an image in our head and we're like, okay, we see this, we see that. And then, you know, we give him those facts and then he comes up with a design for us and we work from there. We're not releasing the taglines yet. Because we've been advised in terms of a business strategy not to flood the market with too much variety.
Okay.
So, you know, we releasing the bags, getting them familiar with that. Mm. And then after that, we're going to release the bags in different colors and then also offer... like batches of taglines. So every few months we'll release like 4 or 5 at a time, and then you can choose from those.
Very, very nice. I like that. I like that phased approach. It's very important to follow that kind of thing. Flubi, let me just quickly ask a question to you about your impression here. Mm. So here's my thought is these guys they're normal. Mm. They're just like every other entrepreneur that we've had in the studio, perhaps even better, but more insightful, certainly in many ways. So what's the problem? What's the issue here? Your thoughts on that?
You know what? Adversities in business come to everybody and anybody, and what makes the two of you so different? So my question would be, even if you are disabled or not, what advice would you give a future CEO about business and its adversities that you've learned along the way?
I just want to say the one thing I live by, and this has taken me,
This is going to be good.
It is.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
Okay. You connected.
Yeah. I'm with you. Go. I'm so with you.
Okay. The motto I live by, and I've been doing this for years, is the greatest risk is not taking one.
Mm. Yep. Very nice. Very,
very nice. And what this actually means is every time you face something or any time you see an opportunity, you don't sit and think, well, what if? Because that wastes time. And then by then, the opportunities have passed. So you say, I'm going to take the risk. Obviously, it's a calculated one.
Yeah.
And also, it has to align with, you know, your end goals. But you say, I'm going to take that risk. And if it fails, I'm going to learn from it. And if it works, I'm going to learn from it and I'm going to benefit from it. So either way, you get value out of it.
You're a winner, wouldn't you?
Yes,
exactly. The two of you, would have you have been entrepreneurs if you were fully able-bodied people?
Good question.
I would like to think so. I think it's in our personalities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From my side, I would probably think yes, but not as strongly as now.
Mm. Of course.
I've been living my life where, you know, people have been telling me since day one, you know, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? You can't do that, you know. Mm. And I've always just said, well, challenge accepted.
Mm. And that's where that comes from, challenge accepted. Very nice. We've got a couple of minutes left here. Just very quickly, what's the best advice you've received on your journey? Best advice, Nicole?
I would say my best advice is to just keep going and don't give up. And, you know, you're going to get knocked down, but you pick up the pieces and you'll probably be stronger from it and be more knowledgeable as a result.
Nick?
One of our taglines, just roll with it.
I really do love that one. It is really fantastic. Then another question, and then Libby, you can do the last question for the show, right? Another question. What's your best worst mistake? Your best worst mistake on this journey? Because it's not all rainbows and butterflies and rose petals. Best worst mistake.
I think maybe the best worst mistake would be thinking too big too quickly.
Okay, very
you know,
nice.
Very and nice. That's where, you know, the whole phased approach came in. Mm. You know, we sit and we like are bombarded by these ideas that, you know, are coming because we've also spoken to our friends and they say, oh, you know, that's a great idea. You know, implement that and, you know, let's think about this. And you end up having so many different things. And then we've gone to the manufacturer and said, well, you know, we want to make this, 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 this. And he's like, whoa there, like, slow down.
Hang on.
let's do, you know, one bag at a time, or let's do one design at a time. Mm. And I think that's true for us because at one point the three bags that we've released, we've been kind of making them simultaneously. And that's been a challenge because sometimes you would think, okay, this works, and then you find out that that doesn't work, and then you're trying to fix that bag, and then you communicate to him, and then he gets the information on the wrong bag, and you're like, okay, back to square one. Mm. So, yeah, too much, too quickly.
Yeah.
Are you happy with that?
Yes, I'm happy with that.
If no disability will ever stop the two of you clearly from reaching your dreams and living your entrepreneurial, you know, a glory, why should it stop any other future CEO? So on my side, you're just such a great inspiration that you really do just outgrow and just outnumber and just outplay any business adversity out there and still, you know, just be cool and humble and with a great sense of humor, which is needed in, you know, the entrepreneurial space. So thank you so much for coming to Future CEO.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. No, we really, really do appreciate it. Thank you. And thank you for what you're doing for your community as well. I mean, it is a niche, but it's not that much of a niche. Nick, we chatted or we were at a presentation together where you mentioned how many people in South Africa are...
Well, Nicole's more of the statistician in that regard, okay. So I'm going to pass it across to her.
I think there's 3.5 million people in South Africa with a disability.
Wow. Mm.
And I think about a million or so of those are physically disabled.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's not so niche.
Yeah, sounds like a market. Sounds like you guys are going to be really successful. And we look forward to having you back on the show maybe in a year's time and see where you are then. You happy to do that?
We'll be here.
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent. Phoebe, a thought or two about the show before we close?
I'm good and I'm happy and I'm inspired. Thank you, guys.
And
that
is the point of the show, to inspire, to catalyze.
And to advocate.
And to advocate. All right, we'll be with you same time, same place next week. Thanks for joining us. See you then.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.